Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to another great edition of Elevated Places. I'm your host tonight, guest host, Brother Student Minister Abdul Salam from Baltimore, Maryland. And of course, it is a great honor and privilege to sit in the driver's seat tonight as we continue with the great epic Elevated Places started by our beloved sister and student and minister, Dr. Ava Muhammad, who brought us Elevated Places as a network, as a platform that we may discuss the issues that are most important to the rise of Black people and the condition of Black people and humanity as a whole. And certainly, certainly, it's a great honor. I'm very humbled to have been asked to be one of the guest hosts, as we will continue to make sure that the legacy of our beloved sister, Minister Ava Muhammad, goes on this great platform, Elevated Places. So we thank each and every one of you that has already joined us via the internet, or of course, if you're online with us via internet, you can also call in at area code 563-999-3065 and press the number 1 if you want to jump in on tonight's conversation that we have lined up for you tonight, as we will be discussing the great, great Million Man March 27 years later and beyond. And we cannot wait to have our beautiful guest tonight. We got a powerful one lined up for you tonight, because we will be joined shortly by the international representative of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and longtime friend and companion to our beloved minister, Student Minister Akbar Muhammad, and of course, our brother, who has been holding it down all throughout this past weekend as we reflect on 27 years ago and beyond. It is one of our great executive council members, attorney, but also minister, student minister of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Will be joined by our student minister, Abdul Arif Muhammad, in just a few moments. But once again, I'm very, very humbled to be on the air with you tonight, to keep this great legacy of our sister and minister, Dr. Ava Muhammad, going. I know all of us miss our sister, but when you put in the kind of work and dedication that she has put into in terms of the upliftment of our people and humanity on behalf of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the body of work that she produced and the body of work that she left to be completed, there's no way that our sister will just vanish or go away. And if the enemy wants that, then we're here to tell you that we're not going to let it. So with that, just a few things, of course, to always make sure you stay tuned to what's going on with the legacy of Dr. Ava by visiting www.ministerava.com. You can still purchase all of her writings, her books, her master classes, and all the updated information on upcoming publications that are being completed as we speak. So make sure you constantly visit and sign up for the notifications from Minister Ava. As we move forward, I know there's so much going on in the world today, the world we live in now with social media and all of these things that are basically going on as things are shifting and moving by the second almost. We stopped to reflect upon this past weekend because this past Sunday marked the 27th anniversary of the historic 1995 Million Man March called by God through his servant, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And man, time really has flown by. I look back 27 years ago. I was just a 22-year-old young brother in the Nation of Islam, had not been the student minister of Mosque Number 6, not even a year. I'm coming up on 28 years, God willing, on November 19th of next month. So I was just fresh in the seat, but nonetheless, the soldier, very much involved. And as a result of the call for the Million Man March by Minister Farrakhan, Baltimore and the state of Maryland and the surrounding areas became a key battleground for the movement and the mobilization and the local and statewide effort to make sure that Maryland and Baltimore specifically would play a large role in the Million Man March. There was recorded, due to data, that a little over 250,000 black men came from Baltimore and the surrounding areas in the state of Maryland to contribute to almost 2 million black men on the mall that day. And if you're just joining us, we're here tonight. I'm your brother, Abdul Salam Muhammad from Baltimore, Maryland, student minister of Mosque Number 6, sitting as a guest host on this great and epic platform, The Elevated Places, that was engineered and produced to us and given to us by our sister and minister, Dr. Ava Muhammad. And as we said at the top, we'll be joined in just a few moments by our international representative, Minister Akbar Muhammad, and of course, our Nation of Islam General Counsel and attorney, but also student minister and executive council member, Minister Arif Muhammad, Abdul Arif Muhammad, will be joining us to jump in on the Million Man March legacy and what it meant after the original march and the impact and the things that came out. But before we do that, I just want to give a personal reflection to show you the beauty of our beloved minister, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I never forget it. In 1995, I believe it was around June of 1995, and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan at that time had been crisscrossing the country leading up the inspiration and mobilization for the upcoming march. And he was definitely in and out of Washington, D.C. constantly. I know Student Minister Arif can speak about that in just terms of the busyness in the D.C., Virginia, Baltimore area. And I remember getting a call that the minister was coming over to Baltimore for a meeting and that I was to report down to this building, 940 Madison Avenue. And at that time, it was the head for the Baptist Ministerial Alliance. And so I went down to 940 Madison Avenue. I was taken upstairs into an office, and a beautiful brother was sitting behind his desk. Eventually, I would get to know him as the Bishop John and Reverend John L. Wright, and along with Dr. Benjamin Chavis at that time. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan arrived, and I was just sitting behind him and Dr. Chavis as they was talking to Bishop Wright. And they were asking Bishop Wright, who I did not know was a great civil rights worker for many years, also a very strong, dedicated black pastor, but also was a power and mover of consciousness in our city. And they were asking him, would he be a co-convener of the Million Man March mobilization here in Baltimore? And he agreed. And then the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan turned around and said, come up here. And he pulled me up and he said, this is my young minister, student minister. And I want you to work with him. And he looked at me and said, I want you to work with Reverend Wright and the coalition that you all bring together to mobilize here for Baltimore. And there began my relationship with the great Reverend and Bishop John L. Wright, who the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan formed a beautiful relationship. And I mean, that beautiful bishop and pastor taught me a lot about mobilization. He taught me about politics, not that we needed to be political, but what to look for and how to maneuver through those things. And so may God forever be pleased with him. He hosted the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan back to the cities on the anniversaries of the mobilization of Million More Movement, Million Family March. And we're very, very grateful to have had him as a brother and friend, along with also from the great Mitchell family here in Baltimore. Sister Lisa Mitchell formed the third of the three of us as co-conveners, but so many beautiful brothers and sisters that came to mobilize from all different walks of life and segments of the city. Big shout out to Sister Eartha Harris, who eventually became co-convener as we moved in terms of forward with different marches and things like that. And she's still going strong as the local organizing chairperson here in the city. Dr. Atiba Nkrumah, we thank him. Brother Lou Andrews. There are so many that we can name, and I don't want to do that because if we keep going too far, somebody would be like, what about me? You forgot about me. Well, we know that none of us did it by ourselves. And so I just wanted to give that personal reflection tonight in terms of what your brother was doing 27 years ago. And by God's grace, 27 years later, here we are. That I want to go ahead and bring our guest in tonight. And if they could, behind the boards, bring our brothers up so that we can begin to get into this conversation tonight concerning the Million Man March and what happened after, because there are so many of us that watched the enemy, number one, try to stop the march from happening in the first place. They worked against us during the march itself, but God had his hand in it. But afterwards, the Negroes and the enemy tried to go to work to dismantle the great blessing of what came out of the Million Man March, and just the magnitude of nearly 2 million men coming from all areas of the country on their own dime, from different faiths, different walks of life. We know that God blessed the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan on that day. So it gives me great honor to bring here to Elevated Places. They're not strangers to this, because these were great, great helpers and workers, along with our student minister and Dr. Ava Muhammad, for many, many years, as they both that are coming on these lines tonight have been instrumental in helping the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan over the years, especially when there were big moves and big situations to happen, the behind the scenes and programs and all of those kind of legalities of what needed to take place. These two brothers definitely an authority on what it took to do the march and what it took beyond the march to that. So I want to welcome first our international representative to these airwaves, our brother and companion to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, Student Minister Akbar Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, sir. We hear you loud and clear, my brother. Thank you so much for answering the call and invite to come on with us tonight, as we are in the great shoes of that we know we can't fulfill of our sister minister and Dr. Ava Muhammad. So thank you so much for being on with us tonight.
It's my honor. Really, I'm honored to be on with the brothers and sister who is on the line. And thank you very much for inviting me. And I hope and pray Allah will bless me to add to what you're putting together, which is so beautiful. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And, of course, once again, our brother been working hard this past weekend, but along with our student national assistant, Minister Ishmael, and all of the others, Chief of Staff, Leonard Farrakhan, Muhammad, Imam Sultan, Reverend Al Sampson, Choir Master Barry, Dr. Benjamin Chavis. I know I'm missing somebody along the way. A great five-hour program, but at the helm to guide that along. And also one of the persons that really can give the backdrop to what was going on, because he was our regional minister of the Mid-Atlantic at that time, and also Minister Muhammad Mosque number 4 in Washington, D.C. We welcome our executive council member, attorney. But most of all, he is a great student minister of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, student minister Abdul Arif Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, my dear brother minister and Imam Abdul Salam Muhammad. So honored to be here with you and our great brother and one of my mentors in the ministry class, my beloved brother, Minister Akbar Muhammad. So we're honored to be with you this evening.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. And I'm so glad that I was able to get my brothers because, you know, a lot, like I said, had been discussed this past weekend with our stream and in observance from our headquarters, Mosque Maryam, on Saturday, as well as the continuation of the keynote address on Sunday. By Student Minister Ishmael Muhammad, who, of course, Brother Arif, you were blessed to also speak on the program. And what I wanted to do just as a setup, let me first allow each and every one of you, and I'll start with Brother, I'll kind of give a backdrop of your personal experience and impact leading up to what became the Million Man March and the reality of it. And then we'll start digging in to the issues coming out of the march that we have on the agenda for tonight. So Brother Akbar, take us back maybe 27 years or even prior, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan made the statement that he wanted to take a million black men to Washington, D.C., and he wanted to pull it back, but he couldn't. So he girded it up and called on the God and went to work. Tell us the impact of that time and your involvement leading up to the Million Man March.
Thank you very much. First, when the minister made the statement, it was like a bow or arrow that left the bow, and you couldn't call it back. And those on the other side, they were so delighted to do anything that they could possibly do in order to make it successful. They were moved and touched by it. And if anybody could bring a million men and some women to Washington, D.C., it would be the minister and those that helped. I was blessed to see the minister a few days ago, and he was talking about people who make things happen, all of these brothers and sisters who came together. It's not just the few of us who have a position and the name recognition, but it was all of the brothers and sisters who clearly said, we will do whatever is necessary to make this a success. And we believe that Allah is with the minister 1,000%, and it will be successful.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, Brother Akbar. And Brother Arif, if you can just take us back down. I know you did a lot of work over the weekend explaining that, but tell us, since we were kind of central to where it was happening, D.C., Baltimore, tell us what impact did the minister's call and then having to get busy to make it a reality, what kind of impact did that have on you?
Well, thank you again, my dear brother. I was listening to you, my mind, first of all, went back to my sister as this elevated places and the network that she created. It's such an honor to be a part of this with you. And I thank Allah ever so much for her sisterhood and friendship, and of course with she and I as colleagues here on the Executive Council, we talk often, and when I say often, I do mean often. And she was, of course, as you know, an attorney as well, and so she was in so many battles legally that we were in together. Many of them she was the lead on, and I just again thank Allah for her and my prayers continuing for her family and for their comfort and peace, and to remember the great legacy, which will never die as long as we remember her and what she gave. Well, of course, my dear brother, Dude Minister Abdul Salam, the only thing that any of us can say who were there in that time, and I know specifically as Student Regional Minister for the Mid-Atlantic, clearly you know what time it is. It's work that had to be done.
Yes, sir.
And that's the first thing that comes to mind, since it was going to be posted in Washington, D.C. And I would appeal to the listeners to go back to www.noi.org. If you didn't have an opportunity on Saturday to view some
That's
of
right.
what was said, because so much was said to lay out this event. And I think some thoughts come to mind. I immediately remember when we talked a little bit about how the day, October 16th, came about, rooted in the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. But it was interesting when we went to get the permit, and I remember distinctly our other attorney, Sister Ruth Muhammad, who worked with me closely in Washington, D.C. at that time, and we went to the National Park Service to make application for the license, and they were struck by the idea that that was the date that we wanted and that it was on a Monday, and they really was like, of course, we don't normally have marches on a Monday. They were so accustomed to weekends, you know, that Saturdays and what have you. But this was an earth-shaking and changing event, because it was rooted in the black man making a sacrifice and coming to Washington as an atonement to God, not an atonement to the government, but atoning to God, and accepting our responsibility for ourselves, our family, our children, and our community. And, of course, the work began in Washington, D.C., Baltimore, Richmond, Virginia, and down into the Mid-Atlantic. There was nonstop in terms of being out in those streets, registering people. A lot of people forgot that we were out in the streets with clipboards and pens, registering people for a $10 registration to help to defray the cost, and they would get a packet and a bumper sticker and a button. And, you know, we were out there every day. And, of course, we were told to work the area, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan was traveling all around the country. We couldn't go because we had to stay in the headquarters and do the work. And so we were all coming in, the believers, the FOI in particular, and then, of course, the MGT. And it was with the Supreme Captain, who at that time, Brother Sharif, had been dispatched to Washington, where he lived, the Student National Secretary at that time, Brother Kamal. They were sent in to live, work with us, and to work with Dr. Benjamin Chavis, and we got the headquarters, the Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity House, of which that was the fraternity that I joined when I was in college. We just got to the grind. Now, one of the keys that we brought up Saturday had to do with the opposition. I don't think people
That's
really
right.
appreciated the intense opposition that we mm-hmm. faced to derail the march and to stop what the minister was doing, because the government saw the unfolding of what J. Edgar Hoover had written in the famous COINTELPRO document. We have to neutralize, disrupt,
mm-hmm.
and prevent the rise of a messiah that would
mm-hmm.
unify and electrify the black masses. They saw him in the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So we talked all about that experience and what occurred. We talked about the crime bill that was intensifying mass incarceration among black men. So we had all of these forces arrayed from the government against us, and then sadly, even among our own community, black community leadership at the time, you know, the truth of the matter is there were many that
mm-hmm.
were really
right.
not with the march at the time. Now, they ultimately came to be a part of it, and I'll just say this very candidly. The beauty of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, for him opening his arms to let any and all who showed up, because
mm-hmm.
there were many who showed up that day, you might say was kind of brand new in their showing up. But whoever showed up to be a part, he opened his arms and gave them one of the greatest platforms anyone could have. And it got to such a point that later in the day, after about 10, 11 hours, people started speaking. They started getting shouted down by the crowd.
Yeah.
Farrakhan. So, you know, those are just some thoughts. But if you can, go to www.noi.org and find that Saturday, October 15th program. We'll never be able to cover all of it on this show, but those were some of
That's
my
right.
thoughts, Brother Student Minister.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. And Brother Akbar, thinking of that, I know that over the years, you know, as we rebuilt and helped the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in rebuilding the Nation of Islam and the work of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you had been instrumental, you know, showing us how to develop programs for our Savior's Days and lineups and speakers and things like that. And as Brother Student Minister Arif just said, man, that day, it was almost like it was just that. I remember at one point they thought the stage was going to collapse, that it was so many
mm-hmm.
people up there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and so, Brother Akbar, could you talk about, were you aware of how the program was going to flow? Were you involved in that? And I know you were there to kind of witness what kind of happened with Brother Arif just said in terms of these speakers that might have came, and the minister just basically being the kind of man that he's always been and being kind enough to allow those that wanted to speak on that platform, he allowed them to speak.
Right. Very interesting. I want to just mention one little caveat is that there were doom peddlers. That's what I call them. Those are
mm-hmm.
the ones that were sitting back waiting for us to fail. And they were everywhere. They smiled at us and shaking our hand, but they were the doom peddlers, and they would go back and tell their, you know, following what was happening. And one thing, one of the pastors, one of the lead pastors, changed his mind. He was first against the march completely and had went
mm-hmm.
and poisoned other preachers that they should not get
wow.
involved. And but that march built so quick. You know, if the rumor of the stage was going to fall, nobody paid attention to it. And we had God to buoy that platform up. But these domes ended up telling their members and so forth that they shouldn't go. And some of them said, but we don't have a reason not to go, you know, to
That's
be
right.
a part of this historical meeting. The 16th of October is Reverend Sellensden's birthday. I mean, we didn't have any idea. And Reverend Sullivan was really a go-getter in terms of marches and getting people together. Mm-hmm. And when he shared that that was his birthday, it looked like people were, we had planned it. We did not plan it. But the people who respect and love him and travel the world with him, they were right there to support this march like you wouldn't believe. And then the word got out overseas in different ways, different manners. The African embassies in Washington, D.C. Put their, I hate to use this term, they put their hat in the ring. And they said that this is an important move in Africa. Africa is watching this march. And sure enough, he was right. The ambassadors that attended, those that sent back to their embassies in their home countries to send representatives and to do whatever they could do to support this march that they felt would impact the world, in particular impact the black world. So it was awesome. I was blessed to be in the minister's suite as people begin to flow in. And the people flowed in, the bishops and the entertainers, you know, they were they stood back a little at first. They came and they hung out. But as they watched the momentum build, even in their home cities, they in D.C., they were following what was happening at home, the amount of buses that were traveling, the trains, the planes. St. Louis happened to have the most planes than any city. But it was like a that you could feel the intensity of it. People looked like we couldn't get tired. Nobody was getting tired. I got to go home. I'm flying back to New York. Everybody was there working and pushing the movement to get those people out and to fill that place completely with those who were with the march.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you. And what I want to do, I got a follow-up question just in terms of that day. But it's not a coincidence, as we know that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in late 1989 into the 90s launched a Stop the Killing campaign, which he crisscrossed the country. And then at a certain point, as we know, in December of 1993, over 25,000 people came out in Jacob Javits Center in New York City. And the minister asked, would black men, if he came back to New York, would black men come out? And we had our first meeting at January 24th, I believe, 1994, first men's only meeting. And then the minister toured the country during men's only meetings in 1994. So historically speaking, it's not an accident, I don't believe, the way Allah guided us to have our first International Saviors Day, October Saviors Day, 1 year, so to speak, from October 16th, 1995. So for us to kind of have a year prior our Savior's Day convention on an international platform, you could see Allah's hand in this with the minister across the board, because we know that the march ended up having a great impact that we're going to talk about a little later with Brother Akbar. I want you to, we got to get into that international impact from the march and, of course, the World Friendship Tour. But I just wanted to bring that, you know, your brother got to bring the historical connection, and there's many.
Yes.
But I just thought about, as you mentioned, those African heads of state, I'm like, wow, a year prior, we had our International Saviors Day in Accra, Ghana, and that was a great, great success. But I wanted And for those that are just joining us, we're speaking with our student minister and international representative, Minister Akbar Muhammad, and, of course, attorney and student minister Abdul Arif Muhammad, Nation of Islam General Counsel, on the Million Man March, 27 years later and beyond, on this great platform started and hosted for many, many years by our sister and minister and Dr. Ava Muhammad, who we're very honored to be a part of the legacy to keep her name going and what she built going, because it has meant so much to our people. If you want to join in the conversation tonight, you can call in and ask our guests some questions. I'm your guest host tonight, Student Minister Abdul Salam Muhammad, Mosque Number 6 in Baltimore. And I want to thank our brother, Brother Darius Muhammad, for reaching out and just asking me. I'm so humbled to be a guest host and looking forward to supporting in any way to keep Elevated Places going. But if you want to join us tonight, call in, ask some questions, give a comment, you can call area code 563-999-3065. Again, you can call in at area code 563-999-3065, but make sure you press the number one so that you can get in the queue and be a part of tonight's message. But let me ask,
Student Minister Salam, Brother,
yes,
can you hear me?
Go ahead. Yes, I can hear you.
If you don't mind, I'd like to maybe just amplify on the point you made, because it was so important.
Go
that,
ahead.
And of course, some of this, again, is covered from our program, but we're on the airways now, so we can kind of go over an important point.
Yes.
That and we have to go really to 1985.
Yes.
The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's experience where he was taken to the wheel. And we have to really understand how critical that was, connected to when he made the announcement in October 24, 1989, in Washington, in the first Stop the Killing tour, which was, in fact, a Savior's Day. Some of
in
us
D.C. Armory.
May
that's
remember.
Right.
That's right. Many of us may not remember that in October 7th, 1985, we had the event at Madison Square Garden where there were over 40,000. And it was that Madison Square Garden event where he announced that Savior's Day would also be on the birth anniversary of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. But at any rate, I'm going to make this quick point. When he related this in 1989, but this occurred in 85, he said that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said to him on the wheel, he said, quote, President Reagan has met with the Joint Chiefs of Staff to plan a war. I want you to hold a press conference in Washington, D.C., and announce their plan and say to the world that you got the information from me, Elijah Muhammad, on the wheel. He said to me that he would not permit me to see him at that time. However, he said that I had one more thing to do, and when the one more thing was done, that I could come again to the wheel, and I would be permitted to see him face to face. Now, this was his statement in 89, relating his experience in 85. But again, keep in mind, President Reagan at that time, that president, was planning a war. Now we get to 89, God is showing him more and more and understanding what that is really related to. Now, in 1989, he shares with us, he said that, in that time, meaning October 89, President Bush has met with his Joint Chiefs of Staff under the direction of General Colin Powell. Now he's being specific to plan a war against the black people of America, the Nation of Islam, and Louis Farrakhan, with particular emphasis on our black youth under the guise of a war against drug sellers, drug users, gangs, and violence, all under the heading of extremely urgent national security. So, again, another contextual backdrop to the Stop the Killing, because that was in that October in Washington, D.C., And this is where the great announcement was made that next day at the JW Marriott. We always have to keep in mind the spiritual framework of us as a people who are a people of God, and we're dealing with the man of God among us, God's anointed and chosen servant among us, and that he's a guided man, guided by the hand of Allah and the Christ, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, as he told us in the criterion. They shaped him. So we also want our people to see the history within the spiritual framework, because this is, after all, a spiritual work that is being done by God himself. Thank you for that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's absolutely, and this is beautiful. I couldn't have chose two better brothers to balance tonight's conversation out, because both of you are both historians too. So I couldn't have chose two better brothers and student ministers to help in this.
Well, he's our senior. You know he's our senior.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Ain't no doubt about it. But it leads me to this. Okay, so a historical moment. Now all of the work had been done. We're finally here. We're at the morning of October the 16th. And, ooh, Brother Akbar, boy, if you could start us off, I just want you to give me your first reflection of maybe the report, or did you go down there very early, or what was the first report that you were given maybe as the sun was coming up or prior, that there, as we heard, there was just hundreds of thousands or tens of thousands of men already there. Can you take us back to that time and maybe a report or something that was going on in that realm?
Yes. One of the brothers got an official. He was a brother soldier. And they had said that there's over 100,000 people on the mall. We wanted to know, where did that figure come from? And they said one of the observations for those who count crowds said it's 100,000 people. And that was near 5 p.m. in the morning.
5 a.m.
Yeah, I want to back up just on something that happened at Madison Square Garden, where the minister drew 25,000 people. You know, the Koch was the mayor, and him in his mouth, he got us people that we would have never touched. He pushed them when he said that you shouldn't go near Madison Square Garden. And you know how our people are, and white people, they don't want nobody to tell them what to do. So, but at this meeting, something that's little known, there's a musician, a white musician named Cat Stevens. And when I was in trying to get the people to come, you know, to hear the minister and so forth, and I'm talking to him. So I went to a Juma prayer. He was there, and he said, I don't agree with Farrakhan. I don't like him. And I listened to him. I said, I'll tell you what. Take this tape. It was a cassette tape. And listen to it, and then get back to me and let me know, will you be of the same opinion? I didn't expect what came after that. Brother Salam, I don't know if you talked about this. Did we talk about this?
No. I'm this, my friend. You know, I'm like in a candy store right now. Come on, keep it coming.
So he said, well, I'll invite you to our mosque, and I'll listen to it, and I'll see you there. He was, you know, they have Juma prayer. So I gave it to him, went to his mosque. He called me in the office in the back, and he said, I just want to tell you, I listened to that tape. And this is the Madison Square Garden tape. I listened to it, and I have to confess, I'm of a changed opinion. I really appreciate that. And this is Cat Stevens. And I thanked him. I told him I'd give that message to Minister Farrakhan as soon as I said. But that's, and he had a place where they met at, a large place. And he brought a lot of people over. And I don't know how many of his people came to the Million Man March, but I'm sure that after he mm-hmm. made that statement at his mosque, a lot of them came. But I just wanted to mention that in the part of
the Brother Akbar, tell the people who Cat Stevens is, though, because I don't think many people remember.
Oh, yeah.
Let the people know who he is.
Yeah, thank you. Cat Stevens is originally he's a Greek and Jewish background, and he's a singer, very well known across Europe, very well known. And
that's right.
He actually stopped playing music for a while. He went back to it, but he stopped playing music. Mm-hmm. But he was touched by the minister and was not too proud or arrogant, not to say, but he was touched and moved by the minister's words. I mean, I know that Madison Square Garden lecture touched a lot of people throughout Europe and around the world. And mm-hmm. I want sisters who are listening to just know that, and then we can research if you want more information on it. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah,
brother,
thank you.
Go
ahead, Brother R.
Just real quick, because I was actually standing out there on the mall. That night, we were up all night long.
All night.
I want to just give that backdrop. All night long at the mall, walking the mall. And when I say the mall, I'm talking about from the U.S. Capitol, some 15 or so blocks, which were extremely long blocks in Washington, going all the way down to the Lincoln Memorial. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you want to talk about a walk, and we walked it several times, but men had started coming, really starting to flow in after midnight,
mm-hmm.
coming up onto the mall to get their spot. And we were out there because obviously one of the big operations that was going on too was the vending operation that had to be set up, which was massive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Must have been about eight or more blocks of vending, starting,
yes,
I think,
sir,
around on 6th Street.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were out there, and I remember, Brother Akbar and student minister Abdul Salam being out there at 4 in the morning as we were just before the call of the Adhan by Brother Ahmed Sheikh Tajani. And the call was then, the estimate then was about 100,000, but just in a short few hours, that crowd, by the time I think we got to the very first programming, which I think started around 7 a.m., something like that,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It was somewhere between 400,000 and 500,000 then. And by the time we hit the pitch of high noon, man, it was shoulder to shoulder. And to be out,
yes,
there just to see it, to stand there and to see it and to see Allah God manifest and back his servant, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and all of those who came with him to be a part. The beautiful
mm-hmm.
thing about the minister, he said, to God be the glory. He said, give him the credit. And
that's
he
right.
Said, and he started naming names. This one don't get the credit. I don't get the credit. You don't
credit.
Get the credit. God alone gets the credit. But we know a work had to be done, and God guided him and others. And it was the first
mm-hmm.
time, Brother Akbar, as we speak in the history of our people, that I could say that this truly demonstrated. The minister called it a glimpse of heaven. That's true because
mm-hmm.
of the unity and the brotherhood and the spirit of God that was there. But also,
yeah.
it's the first time I had seen almost every black leader from every idiom, every philosophy, every ideology, every political persuasion, religious persuasion, entertainers. Who in black America, you'd almost have to say, who wasn't there? because
that's right.
They were all there. And so that day really showed a black united front for the
yes,
first
sir.
Time that I could recall in our history that we saw a black united front.
Brother Akbar, you wanted to jump in?
Yeah, I wanted to just mention this, that the brother from Senegal, there's a sheikh from Senegal, I think his name is Sheikh Malik. He wanted to make sure that the brothers from Africa got a play, which they did. The sheikh did speak. And all of those Africans who live and work around D.C., New York, at the embassy for the UN, and then the embassies itself, all of them came out on the mall that, I mean, it was so many of them. They just wanted to be there and broadcast back home what was happening with this Million Man March. I wanted to mention that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you so much. And what I want to do, we got about 10 minutes before we end up at the 9 p.m. hour on the East Coast, 8 p.m. Central, as we're talking on Elevated Places, that this historic platform created by our sister minister and Dr. Ava Muhammad, may Allah forever be pleased with her. I'm your guest host tonight to keep this legacy going, student minister Abdul Salam Muhammad from Baltimore, Maryland, joined by our international representative for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, student minister Abdul Akbar Muhammad, and of course, attorney and student minister and Nation of Islam General Counsel, Executive Council member, all of these things, but he's a great companion and helper of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in this rebuilding work as well, student minister Abdul Arif Muhammad. We're talking on the Million Man March 27 years later and beyond. And if you want to join in tonight's discussion, you can call area code 563-999-3065. Again, area code 563-999-3065 and press the number 1. So, my brothers, what I want to do, I want to open this up. We have some callers that have been on the line with us for a little while now, and I just want to do this as we get close to the 9 o'clock hour, and then God willing, if you both can kind of stick with me, I want to transition into after the march. I know there's some immediate things right after the next day and months later, and then the anniversaries and those things. And we definitely want to hit that in the second and remaining hour of tonight's show. So if we can, let's go to Brother Darryl, who is on the line with us. Brother Darryl, are you there?
As-salamu alaykum, family. Happy Savior's Day. Can you hear me?
Wa alaykum salam.
Yes,
happy
we can.
Savior's Day to you. Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful. I bear witness there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is His messenger, and the Most Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is divine servant in our midst. I want to thank the Elevated Place for our beloved sister, Dr. Ava Muhammad. May Allah continue to be blessed with her. And long live the spirit of our sister Ava. I want to thank you also, Brother Akbar, for your being on the show, because you are definitely one of our pioneers, this rap next to sister Ava. And I love you, and I want to let you know that we all love you. May Allah continue to bless you and your family. I also want to thank Allah for blessing me to be at the Million Man March. Madison Square Garden was the baby Million Man March. That was triggered it off 10 years later. And it definitely was, just like you said, Brother Akbar and our brother, that we drove in an RV. And when we got there, was so much love on the highway. I'm talking about food, coffee, everywhere. Everywhere we stopped, you see signs, where you're going, the Million Man March. It was so much love all the way to Washington. And when we got there, it was just like you said, about time when Brother Sheikh the Johnny came on, it was already before dusk. I mean, Don, it was just already, just like you said, over 100,000, and then by that time, shoulder to shoulder. So it was definitely the Million Man March was a success, like the minister said, glory go to Allah. And I just want to thank you all. And I want to see a brother Darius may be online. I had asked, I think, a couple of weeks ago if they could see if we could get Sister Ava tapes or CDs, put on CDs so that we could patronize and buy those CDs, however way they put it, and they're so that let us know when they are available. I thank you all. May Allah continue to bless the elevated place. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you, dear Brother Darrell, for your call. And, of course, there's a whole staff and team of believers that are working with Brother Darius and to make sure that Sister's legacy and her words are preserved as well as continue to be disseminated in all of the modern ways as well. I know that some of us may still be accustomed to CDs and DVDs and things, and that's fine, but we're in a modern world that will allow us now to literally put those items up for streaming and purchase in those ways. But know that there's a dedicated team that is helping to make sure that Sister Minister Ava's network is intact and will go on in the noble effort that she would have desired it for to be. So we're just a few minutes from the 9 o'clock p.m. hour on the East Coast, and I want to get, for those, Sister Donna, if you could, let us bring in our former editor of the Final Call newspaper, Brother James G. Muhammad, is on the line with us because I know he played an integral part in the coverage of that time during the Million Man March, and I'm so glad just to know that he's even on the line with us tonight.
But let's, that's what I love.
Oh, there's my brother. Assalamu alaikum. Brother James G.
Wa alaikum salam. Brother Salam, how are you, sir? And brother Minister Arif, Minister Akbar, how are y'all?
Wa alaikum salam, my brother.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Well, brother,
yes,
thank you for allowing me to say these few words in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. I bear witness there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his messenger. You all touched on all the points I wanted to speak on, but like as a baby Muslim in the nation, maybe about 4 or 5 years, I was at Madison Square Garden as well. And one of the things I really remember was being outside on the perimeter, and our assignment was to lock arms as a chain around part of the Madison Square Garden. And I distinctly remember it was like we were standing like on a beach, like 10 feet into the ocean, and those waves are hitting us, and we're swaying back and forth and swaying back and forth. And I kept praying. I said, Allah, oh Allah, please do not let these brothers and sisters break us, because they were forcing us, man. It was like a tremendous force that you could feel could really just break the security that we were trying to provide. That was that whole day was remarkable. The other two quick things I wanted to mention was exactly correct. We had a press, I won't call it a booth, it was like a little trailer, and it was like halfway down the mall for media coming in for credentialing, et cetera. And I was in there, and it was about maybe 5 in the morning because Brother Tijani had just given the Adhan, and I came out of it, and it wasn't quite light yet, but I started walking toward the Capitol, and I was astonished that there were so many men on that mall. I looked both ways to see how I could get around, and I could not see a way around to get up to the stage. So I started trying to wiggle my way through, and it was like trying to wiggle through peanut butter. And the brothers kept looking at me, and they said, let the ministers through, you know, as if I was a minister or something. And all of a sudden, they just picked me up. They picked me up and passed me over until I got to the front and set me down on the front. And the last thing I'm going to mention is the two controversies that were, at least the two that I would mention, was the controversy over the count and the controversy over the money. And I thank Allah for the strength of the brothers and the sisters and the nation that we challenged that count, that when it came over, it said 400,000, and the people automatically began booing because they knew that was a lie. But I remember Chief of Staff Brother Leonard Farrakhan and others, Brother Akbar obviously, put a challenge to the authorities there. And after the march on, you know, some of those days, we were actually in a room, and they had a pad on the floor, and they had us standing on these spots to calculate how many people would fit in this area so that they can then extrapolate, well, how many people were at the mall. And that was something that we fought to make a verification of that count, in addition to the scientists in Boston, wherever. And lastly, and thank you for letting me say these few words.
No, come on.
It was the controversy over the money, and they wanted to show these pictures of people passing bags of money and dumping it into trunks, and they wanted to get the folks to not trust the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, but he's such an integral man that he's the only person that produced an audit after the march. I don't recall of any other audit that was produced after a public gathering other than the Million Man March to show that this is not a dishonest man. This is the most honest man in our midst. And there's so many things, and I appreciate this opportunity to share those few words.
Man, we appreciate you.
Well, you know,
let me ask you something.
You know, we got to get in here. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I got to ask him this. Brother James, didn't you capture a shot out the window of the Capitol?
Of the what?
Of the crowd. Didn't you capture
a shot
of the crowd? Yeah, talk to us about that.
Well, you know, I know you was
one of them that caught one of them.
Oh, yeah, yes, sir. Yeah, I was blessed to go up on top of the Capitol as high as they would let us go and take the widest picture. And to that point, you know, obviously when we put the paper together, you know, obviously our minister reviews it. And so we had, I think, two versions. One had the vertical picture, looking from the Capitol down to the Washington Monument. And it was like a vertical, and it was just jam-packed all the way through. But the other one was the wide one. And he said, no, brother, go with this one. And the other thing that he did, you know, I don't know what.
Which was this one? Which was this one, vertical or horizontal?
Yeah, the one that showed up, on the paper. And we, I don't know what headline we had on it, but the minister told us the headline should be
"To
God
Be the Glory." Right?
Yeah. I don't know what, so, it was a different title than that ended up, because when we showed it to him, he said the title should be "To God Be the Glory." And that's the title that came on the first paper that came out of the Million Man March.
Wow.
It had that wide picture, and it had "To God Be the Glory." That was the first one. Now, we had others that came out after, and then it was "A Glimpse of Heaven," et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's beautiful.
Listen, dear brother, we thank you so much for your years of hard work and labor, especially, you know, the history of this march. And, man, it was just refreshing just to even have you a part of the conversation with our two great brothers tonight here on Elevated Places. May Allah bless you, my dear brother.
Yeah,
and always looking forward to seeing you
soon. Congratulations on your name. And you got two of my favorite brothers in there with you, so you secured, brother.
Yes, sir, we know we love you, James. You know that, brother.
Praise
be to Allah. So, brother Abdul Salam.
Yes, sir.
If I may say this, and I'm so thankful to our former editor, Brother James G. Muhammad, we affectionately call ourselves the Former Editors Club.
Come on.
Because during a certain period, I was also editor-in-chief of the Final Call newspaper. I wanted to say this about the controversy. He's right. There were three points of attack against what we were doing, and I want to lay them out real quick and we can talk about it. One he talked about real quick was the undercount. Now, then when they announced that 400,000, keep in mind, we immediately went, and when I say we now, you were right, Brother Leonard, who was then Chief of Staff. I believe Brother Akbar was involved in that. I know I was as an attorney. And we went and got another attorney, and we drafted a lawsuit to file against the National Park Service for that wrongful count. And then we hired this scientist out of Boston. We actually traveled to Boston with the imagery, the aerial images that they had taken, because, of course, the National Park Service used to give official counts. And so we were able to get access to those images. And when he looked at the imagery, even though the images were not at the zenith of the march, because they made sure they never wanted that to be shown, but the imagery had at that time, he still estimated it at somewhere between 875,000 to 1.2 million. Well, of course, we knew that it was more than that, but it totally obliterated the National Park Service's lie that they decided as a result of that, that they would no longer give account to say how many people on the mall. So we actually shut them down from giving account because we exposed them as great liars that day. That was one issue, the undercount. The public collection was another, where now here we have all these historic marches in Black America that was funded by the government and unions. Nobody asked for, nobody challenged or even questioned the money. Never. Just think about this now. The funders and backers of previous marches. Now all of a sudden, because we Black men and women, see, Black people paid for this march. It came from us. From us with the little $10 and registrations and other stars that gave great sums of money during that time. I believe Prince gave a large contribution. Michael Jackson gave a large contribution.
Mm-hmm.
There were others who gave a tremendous contribution, but it was Black people.
Mm-hmm.
And so we definitely was running a deficit because I think the march cost was over $2 million. And, again, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan himself put out over $500,000, over $500,000, out of his own pocket.
Pocket, that's right.
In terms of travel and funding. And then even when there was a deficit after all of that, he actually helped to retire that deficit. But again, March, when the audit came out, only showed that maybe a little over 160-something thousand had actually been raised from that mall. But again, trying to, attack the Messiah, attack the minister and the credibility of the march, but God once again vindicated it on the public collection. Finally, one of the biggest attacks from the march was this question of there was no public policy. You remember how many times people were accusing us of saying having this many people, there was a have to be public policy. And, of course, some of our Black leaders, that's what their business was. They spoke their public policy. But I would beg to differ that, see, their public policy is the public policy of talking to the government. We did have public policy, but it was our own public policy, meaning the Black nation public policy, which had to do with the pledge. If you read the pledge that was given that day, where you say, I say your name and then pledge to do the things that were pledged that day, if you look at it, all of that was the Black nation's public policy. So it's not true that we didn't have a public policy agenda. We just didn't have a public policy agenda where we were going to the government and asking them, but we had a public policy agenda that we adopted. And I want to talk later, student Minister Abdul Salam, about what the minister asked us to do that day, because that was also a part of the public policy agenda. So when we took that pledge on that mall, that was the Black nation's public policy. So never let people say we didn't have a public policy. We just didn't have one where we were asking the government for something, or we was asking Congress for something.
That's right.
We were going to God himself.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We get ready to get into that in this second hour as we have entered in. This has been great thus far. And brothers and sisters, if you're just joining us here on the Elevated Places tonight, we're joined by our international representative, student minister Abdul Akbar Muhammad, and of course, our Nation of Islam General Counsel and student minister Abdul Arif Muhammad here on the great, great Elevated Places brought to us and created by our sister and minister, Dr. Ava Muhammad. May Allah forever be pleased, and we're just honored to keep this legacy going tonight as we're talking on the Million Man March 27 years later and beyond. And I'm getting ready to go to you, Brother Akbar, about this critical point of the international impact as well as the minister, by the grace of God, being inspired. Allah just had his hand in it to literally, after just such a big victory, leaving America and going on what we begin to coin the World Friendship Tour. But I want to say something about what Brother Arif just said about, and Brother James, about the minister's integrity. I mean, of course, we know we've been walking with this man, impeccable character. But due to the controversy, we have to be the witness bearers of this beautiful man. And I remember, talking 1995, I remember being in Washington, D.C. with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in August of 1997 as he was on tour throughout the cities. He had been in Baltimore the night before on a Friday and then over in D.C. the next night. And remember Bob Brown, who worked on logistics for the national part of Million? And I remember Bob Brown had done a lot of good work for us. I mean, he was very thorough. But we're talking 2 years, almost 2 years later, and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan addressed an issue that he wanted to pay Bob Brown his just due for what he had done. And I remember being a part of having to ensure, along with our Supreme Captain at that time, Brother Sharif. He told Brother Sharif when he came on stage to make sure that Bob Brown is given what he's due. And Sharif came to the count room and said what the minister wanted for that brother and fulfilled that, just to show you the character of our beloved minister. He's not a thief. He's not a robber. And he is a man that all of us that know that walk with him and have worked with him can bear witness to his noble character. So I just wanted to add that in. I witnessed that actually happen, you know. So jumping into this as we close down in the second hour, Brother Akbar, can you just kind of give us, you kind of mentioned it earlier in terms of while the march was going on, many of our brothers and sisters from Africa that were living in the D.C. area or in America at that time. But, of course, the minister, through the inspiration of Allah, God, moved out and went on an international trip that we call the World Friendship Tour. Can you tell us how that came about so soon after the march? And what was the reception in the world after the Million Man March had just happened with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan now on an international scene?
Bismillah. First, I want to say that there were many people who wondered why the minister talked about a world tour. They were those that were against it. I'm glad you mentioned Bob Brown, because to this day, when he calls me, he brings up that point, and I certainly want him to hear this broadcast and make it possible. But the minister, the world tour, he was thinking about it. He hadn't said anything or told people he was going to do it, but he had been thinking about it. And there was so much trouble in the Middle East and other places. He thought if Allah would bless him to lift his voice, being that that march gave him respect, notoriety, that you would couldn't imagine. One of the things that happened was that Brother Muammar Gaddafi, the leader of Libya, looked at the whole march, and as soon as the march was over, he called the minister. The minister said, I wonder how he got our phone. But he called the minister and committed that he would help the minister, and he wanted to be on board. You know, it was just unbelievable. And his English is not that good, but his English straightened out that day because he sure was talking. And we began to prepare. So the minister, like you said, the respect and the clarity of the minister, and the one thing that he wanted to do is he wanted to go on this tour, but that, not just a trip, but to deal with the many problems that our people in America definitely face, and black people and the minority people throughout the world. and he made a pledge that he would work on going on this trip. And I was blessed to be the one that kind of shaped it and where we go first and so forth. And but the march was the key. The people began to talk about the march. They wanted to. They want to know, you know, if the minister could come to their country. It was a big deal with countries throughout the world. And there were certain countries that wanted him before other countries. We had that controversy going. One of the big problems at that time was the Sudan. And they were suffering and they were fighting with each other. And the minister went there and talked to their leaders. And he was able to walk away with some kind of understanding, not fighting and so forth. So that was one of the first stops that he made. And then the leadership of Black America were against it because their bosses were against it. I mean, if a man said he's the world, a trip of peace to try to bring peace to places that are fighting, and then you are against it, why are you against it? Because you did not have the ability at that time, and you don't have it right now to make a difference. But they were against it. I mean, they were saying, oh, that beautiful march that Minister Farrakhan pulled off and all the people that came, then for him to squander that by going to these rogue nations. Really, what they were saying, they couldn't go to the so-called rogue nations. They couldn't get an audience with those leaders. They could not strike up a conversation that we could find a path to peace. They couldn't do it. So their jealousy of what the minister was able to do was out front. And most of them backed up. Some of them stood with the minister and even traveled with him. So
that's
a piece of history that we have to put together and talk about because it was an unbelievable trip. I must say that Reverend Sampson can sing, and on that trip, every time we were getting near home, he would break out and sing. But it was unbelievable. And the way of that these governments and ambassadors, they made it easy for the minister to get visas, to get in the countries, to find the kind of quarters that we need for the size delegation that we took. It was just an unbelievable trip. And I pray Allah that he blesses those of us who experienced it to write it up so that our children and those behind them say, what happened after the Million Man March? Minister Farrakhan toured the world. He went to countries throughout the world. He talked to leaders. He wanted to broker peace deals so that our people would stop fighting and killing each other, whether it was in America, whether it was in Africa and the Caribbean. So it's something that we have to talk about to put together a team that will tell the world what happened and then see what we can do to improve relationship from countries that are battling with each other.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that's a whole nother narrative that is so important, Brother Akbar, in terms of just the minister's international impact, even before the march, but definitely with the Million Man March as a whole. So I appreciate you definitely filling us in on that. And this leads me to now, you know, Brother Arif, and both of you, but Brother Arif, you know, you mentioned it just a few minutes ago about these gender items and these in this public policy. One of the things in terms of, I remember, great that the minister not only gave us the spiritual part, but he gave us the action right from the steps. There was something already prepared, and I want you to talk about it because we were asked to do some things, not just in the pledge, but literally. The minister told us to go find a house of worship to our liking. Go find a church, a mosque, a synagogue, wherever, but if you don't have somewhere where you're getting spiritual guidance, go to that. He could have easily said that day, I want all the men to join the FOI, You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Or the Nation of Islam. He didn't do that.
Well, I got
there
the list.
There was an issue.
Yeah, I got the list.
Yeah, the black adoption, adopt a prisoner, all of those things. Go ahead, and I'll let you two both chime in. But go ahead and start us off, Student Minister Arif, in terms of that, because that's a big part of what the enemy tried to destroy.
Yeah, brother, I'm going back to your point real quick. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Brother Akbar, going back to your point about these countries, I had this list here where the minister traveled after the march. We had Accra, Ghana, Abuja, Nigeria, Dakar, Senegal, Gambia, Gabon, Zaire, Namibia, South Africa, Mozambique, Zimbabwe, Tanzania, Uganda, Sudan, Saudi Arabia, Mecca, Saudi Arabia, Jeddah, Abu Dhabi, Iraq, Baghdad, Iran, Tehran, Malaysia, Kuala Lumpur, Turkey, Istanbul, Syria, Damascus, and Tunisia. So these were some of the countries that was listed as I went back over my list. And there may have been a few I may have missed, but I had those listed in terms of the travel. Now, I thought, did he go to Libya? I thought he went to Libya.
Yeah, he did.
When he went over the first time? Yeah, that's not listed. But he went to Libya. And I know in South Africa as well. Did I say South Africa too? Because I remember in South Africa the picture with him standing with Nelson Mandela. Was that then as well, or was that the next time? It was listed.
The next time, I believe, was when they went back. The following year.
Right.
But all still stemming from the march.
That was the next year. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let me go over these quick things that the minister, as you were speaking on, Brother Student Minister Abdul Salam, he said, here's what I want you to do after the march. One, you must belong to some organization that is working for and in the interest of the uplift and the liberation of our people. So that was point number one. He didn't say join the nation. He said join some organization that is working for and in the interest of the uplift and the liberation of our people. Two, we must keep the local organizing committees. We must keep them together. And in Baltimore, that organization still is up and functioning. And there are also organizations in other places. The next one, go home and join some church, synagogue, temple, or mosque that is teaching spiritual moral uplift. That was the third principle. Brothers, he then said, when you go home, we got to go register. 8 million eligible but unregistered brothers and sisters. He was just saying register. Of course, our preference was independent, but of course, many in the Democratic Party were trying to guide it over to that. But then it says for the other point was the brothers that were locked down inside the walls. We should pick out an inmate and be a brother to one of the inmates, not just while they in, but really be a brother, pair up, you know, like adopt an inmate and work with those brothers, you know, in terms of their transition. Then he talked about the 25,000 black children that needed adoption. That was another point that you had mentioned, right? And then the other point was the need to develop an economic development fund. So those were the things. In addition to the pledge that we took, where each of us as men pledged on an individual level that we would commit to those principles. And Abdul Salam, on the flyer, you have kind of that imprint of that pledge where the minister had each of us say it. I say your name, you know, what we would personally pledge to do. So that was the Black Nation public policy. And then these were the marching orders once we left that day.
Yes,
and I wanted to also say, too, we talked about many people who was working on this march, And logistically, Brother Bob Brown worked in the national office, and then when he was unable to continue, we had our brother Ernest from Washington, D.C.,
mm-hmm.
come in
mm-hmm.
and start working with the nationwide mobilization, particularly with the buses, which was huge,
yeah.
which was huge, huge, huge. And something that was talked about, I want to share, I didn't get to talk about Saturday. Everybody kept talking about the government wanting to know how many was coming, and they were saying, of course, that they really knew, because they the government, they knew we were coming. They knew
yeah,
it was
that's right. That's right.
But they kept trying to get us to say how many, and what we would always say to them, I'm never going to forget it, because I was in many of these major meetings with all of the federal agencies and all of the city agencies, and they feds especially wanted exact numbers. And we would say, well, we believe it's going to be a success, and we believe that, you know, how many buses can be the capacity that you can house, and they would tell us their number, right? And we would say,
mm-hmm.
yes, we think that's going to be the number. We never would say to them, well, it's half of that or a third of that. Oh, if you say
right.
you're talking to accommodate the total of, you know, several thousand buses, yeah, we believe that we'll have that. And so we kept – that's how we would deal with it. But they were very frustrated because they were trying to get us to lock into a number. We would never lock into a number. We would say, whatever your capacity is to handle, that's what's coming.
Yeah, hey, and I'm going to tell you, see, it's that kind of stance that a lot of people take for granted, that we as black people and as the Nation of Islam demonstrated a lot of what so-called revolutionaries talk about when they say that they make a stand and they ain't moving. No, we demonstrated that on so many levels under the great guidance of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the protection of Allah.
That's right.
And that's why, as much as they wanted to thwart this and write it out of history or even stop it from even happening, you know, Allah gave us the victory. Brother Akbar, can you, mm-hmm. you want to chime in about the impact of those action items since the Negroes wanted to say that nothing came out of the march? Because everything that Brother Arif just said, we know that there is a living proof that black adoptions went up. Adopt-a-prisoner programs went up. Every black house of worship that was suffering had an influx of people into it, no matter what religion it was.
That's right.
Can you just give us a perspective?
Voter registration went up.
Yes, sir. Brother Akbar, you want to?
Yeah. One thing I want to mention, as we travel throughout the country and the world, the prison population decreased in crime. You remember the 2-3 weeks
yeah.
after the crime went down, and they made a comment about it. Then the brothers who were coming home from prison made a commitment that they were not
That's
going
right,
back. Man. And the beautiful part about it is church services in the black community across America, they picked up, the attendance picked up, and they were not afraid to praise the Million Man March all across the country.
That's right.
And the Bob Law in New York, his church
mm-hmm.
in Brooklyn,
uh-huh.
after the Million Man March, stayed packed every Sunday and
uh-huh.
working on black men. So it was unbelievable. Because people wanted to know what was the magic, you know, that Minister Farrakhan could attract all of these people, and they come and they work, they get in the church and go to work, which is really beautiful, and then turn around and invite the minister, would he come to their church? They felt
That's
that
right.
what they instructed, he could be
uh-huh.
very helpful. That is a blessing. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Well, as we are reaching that 9:30 mark on the East Coast once again, we're here on the great epic Elevated Places, started and pioneered by our sister minister, Dr. Ava Muhammad. May Allah forever be pleased with her. I'm your guest host tonight, Student Minister Abdul Salam Muhammad from Baltimore, and I'm joined by Student Minister Akbar Muhammad, International Representative, and Student Minister Abdul Arif Muhammad, Nation of Islam General Counsel, and he got a whole lot of hats, as we've been saying through the night. But this is beautiful, brothers. No. This is a beautiful conversation. I want to once again thank Brother Darius Muhammad, the husband of our late sister, for reaching out to me. And he knows what sister has meant to Mosque Number 6 in Baltimore and all the nation, believers and extended. But I can speak personally of our sister and what she's meant to me and my family and the beautiful believers here in Baltimore personally. And I want to give a personal testimony as we move on. It was in the year 2012, in December, that I had invited Sister Ava back once again to the city to help be the keynote at a fundraiser, because we were in the last little run to get the monies to burn the mortgage on Mosque Number 6. And she agreed. She said, come on, I'm coming. And we began to work, and because we had to finalize it on December the 31st. And we were there, and Sister came, as she would, and she came, and she began to teach on that Sunday at the mosque, because we were going to raise the money at the banquet that evening.
Banquet.
But Sister taught so hard, as she does, we had that money at the end of the mosque meeting. And we were able to announce, that we had that. And to show you her strength, she came to the banquet and she said, even though we announced it at the banquet, we had reached the goal, she still encouraged those that came to give more so that we could do what we needed to do to keep that. And I will never forget that, because she brought that spirit that day, and those people gave that money. And I ain't talking about no little $2,000. You know, we had a little nut to catch, and she did that. And so we're eternally grateful for our sister. And it's just beautiful to be with my brothers tonight. I want to thank Sister Donna Muhammad from Memphis, Tennessee. She's behind the board. Of course, Sister Pamela, Sister Minister Patricia, Sister Rona, Brother Terrence, and anybody that has helped Sister Ava over the years on this platform. Mm-hmm. We are eternally grateful to all of you, and looking forward to working with you in the near future. And so what I want to do, brothers, I got two callers left that I want to get them in, and then we're going to, God willing, let's wrap this up in terms of the anniversary and how Allah blessed the minister to come back 5 years, 10 years, and then 20 years with 10, 10, 15, and God willing, we'll wrap this up. But I want to go ahead and get our brother Hoyle. He's always been an avid caller, regular caller over the years with Dr. Ava. And so, Brother Hoyle, are you on the line? Brother Hoyle? Okay, I don't. Brother Hoyle?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, go right ahead.
As-salamu alaykum.
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. Wa alaykum as-salam. Yes, Sister Ava would always say the top fisherman. So you're looking at me and myself and Brother Warren Truex, the top in the nation. So I don't want to toot my horn. So,
yes,
I want to say beautiful show. I want to thank Brother Akbar and Brother Arif and yourself, Brother Abdul Salam, what a beautiful treasure of history. This new paper. Beautiful. It says Atonement, Reconciliation, and Responsibility. And I want to direct people to a beautiful article by Brother Dimitri, my Memphis colleague there. He has a beautiful article saying Minister Farrakhan is the choice of Allah God to the Million Man March, and proved it. He said proved it. And I thank Allah that I was blessed to be there. Memphis at that time had the host post. And we met all of the celebrities and people, and my hand was just blistered. And I had to move to another post. And I wanted to back up what Brother Akbar said. Brother Minister Akbar said, when we were going out to eat, we went by Howard University, and we ran into a white military pilot. And me and a brother named Brother Mark Miller and some brothers, we asked the brother, what was the count? He told us over 2 million. I've seen this from my own eye. You know, he was a military pilot. We were near a restaurant. It was packed going out. And he said over 2 million. So this is from the horse's mouth. And if I had those brothers here, they could, you know, verify what I said. But, this led also, like Brother Akbar said, to the World Friendship Tour 1 and 2. And so many with the pledge. And everything went down. They wanted to say so much negativity about it. You know, this is from the article. It says, this is Howard Polskin, the vice president of CNN. Now, listen, there's 2.2 million households tuned in to Minister Farrakhan's speech, meaning that more people watched the two-hour-long address on CNN than any other special this year, including Mr. Clinton's State of the Union message and the Pope's address to the United Nations. We've got the kind of numbers that basic cable only sees from first run movies. Now, this is Howard Polskin, a vice president of CNN. We have the receipt, as they say. Even Abraham Foxham said the only leadership that is now exists in that community, the African-American community, is Louis Farrakhan. And Farrakhan can assemble to 20,000 people several times a year. And this is from Abraham Foxham. So they know who he is, and they know who God is. Well, but we just got to get our people. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, and that's the beauty of the narrative tonight, from two brothers, but representing the many that worked diligently, nonstop, by God's grace, to see this victory, and at the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan at the head of it. And so we're just grateful to be a part of this history. And we thank you for always being an avid caller and calling in on Elevated Places. I know we're getting the ball rolling again and looking forward to hearing you each and every Thursday, God willing. But thank you for your hard work and keep on fishing.
Thank you.
We appreciate Brother Demetric Muhammad, great part of the Nation of Islam Research team. And always enjoy your comments there, brother. May Allah bless you. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you. May Allah bless you all. Beautiful show.
Yes, sir.
Thank you,
Brother Hoyle. And now we're going to go to our final caller tonight and then have a wrap up. And I'm pretty sure we're going to need a part two somewhere along the line to talk about these things, but we'll do the best we can with the time that's remaining. We want to go to Brother Louis Ali from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Brother Louis, you on the line with us? Elevated Places.
Yes, sir. And thank you so much for hosting the show tonight. I've really enjoyed the comments.
Very humble. Yes, sir.
Enjoyed the callers. Great job. And I'm so happy that Dr. Ava Muhammad's show is continuing on, and Brother Darius is keeping it going, him and Sister Donna and your people like yourself. I wanted to start with what Brother Student Minister Arif was talking about, public policy.
Mm-hmm.
And our public policy coming out of the Million Man March was rooted in the theme atonement, reconciliation, and responsibility. And this is rooted in the self-improvement study guides that the minister gave not just to the little nation of Islam, but really gave it to the big nation of Islam, the whole world. Self-development being the basis for community development, which Dr. Ava Muhammad always pointed us toward. And it's real interesting because the minister could see that the enemy was setting black men up in particular by putting the most degenerate things on TV and in music. And the black man's image was tore completely down, and the minister in the Nation of Islam single-handedly, literally with the big Nation of Islam, changed that mm-hmm. image for the whole world because our image was so toxic. Interesting enough, Dr. Ava Muhammad was planning to go to New Jersey because the image of the black man and black woman's relationship is so tarnished. And I remember her telling me she was going to identify the source of the problem. And the source of the problem is really, Minister Farrakhan highlighted it in the movie The Color Purple when he did that series on The Color Purple. Mm-hmm. And he was showing how they were showing the black man really, really, really weak and toxic and doing something to our relationship. So I hope we see really how they're trying to turn the black man against the black woman. And last point, the minister was so wise in how he showed us that in The Color Purple, because he was showing it to us at a time when they were, because I'm thinking about what Brother Arif was talking about, they were changing the public policy or highlighting the public policy. I think under Reagan, no-fault divorces. So it made it so easy for us to get rid of one another. But this atonement, reconciliation, and responsibility will ultimately prove to be the greatest public policy that we could ever have. Self-development, the basis for community development. I, self, Lord, and Master, God gave me permission to master and govern myself, and we choose obedience. So thank you for the great,
yes, sir.
Great show, bro. May Allah bless y'all.
What?
As-salamu alaykum.
I mean, thank you. Wa alaykum salam. Thank you so much, Brother Lewis, for calling in, and thank you for your great help of Dr. Ava over the years with Project Separation, and I know that work will continue. So with that, my dear brothers, we're almost at that 9:45 p.m. mark here on the East Coast, 8:45 Central. We're in a conversation here on the Epic Elevated Places Blog Talk Radio Show, started and engineered and progressed from our sister, sister student minister, and Dr. Ava Muhammad. I'm your guest host tonight, one of many that will be coming and helping to keep this legacy going. Student Minister Abdul Salam Muhammad. I was getting ready to call myself Carlos. I'm still trying to get used to it. and it's just great to have Student Minister Akbar and Student Minister Abdul Arif on tonight as we reflect on the Million Man March 27 years later and beyond. So my dear brothers, with these last few remaining moments, I wanted to touch this extension of policy, Brother Arif, because we know, and Brother Akbar, because you both were integral in what ended up becoming a living document at the fifth anniversary of the march, which was our first anniversary 5 years later. And that was the Million Family March. And coming out of that was this beautiful book called The National Agenda, Public Policy Issues, Analysis, and Programmatic Plan of Action, that was to last from 2000 to 2008. But this was so thoroughly, I'm telling you personally, this was so well put together, it's beyond 2008. Maybe the data needs to be updated, and that's easy to do, but in terms of the body and the nuts and bolts of this, it still stands. Just to know that the sections in this, family, section one, family morality, public policy, political empowerment, justice issues, strengthening the family, quality of life, economic transformation, and the final section, international affairs. And these weren't just sections where you're reading just something put together. They actually had agenda and action items in the research that was done to support putting this document together. Can you both give us your testimony to the impact of that document coming together with all of our great black leaders from the different disciplines, from the political arena, educational arena, economic arena, spiritual arena, as well as international? And Brother Arif, I'll start
with you. And I'll end it with this. Just a few months ago, I'm going to show you how powerful this document is. You know, Baltimore has many problems, you know, with violence and certain things that are affecting our people here. And our beautiful young mayor, Brother Mayor Brandon Scott, is under the fire, as anybody that sits in these seats, as he's trying to make change. And I said, I saw him previously, and I said, I got a gift for you, brother. I want to give you something. And the next time we saw each other, I had it, and I gave it to him. I said, brother, I want you to go get quiet somewhere, and I want you, don't look at the dates. I just want you to go read what's in here as it relates to the city as a solution. And I can tell you, the next time I saw our mayor, all he said was just, thank you. Thank you. He said he's never seen nothing like that in his years in public office, in terms of all of the things people sit around with agendas and put together. He's never seen anything like that. So I just want to get your take as we wind down tonight on the national agenda. Brother Ark, go right ahead.
Yes, well, thank you so very much. Very quickly, I want to remind us of the theme as we conclude for the march. And remember, the minister, as he was traveling the country, was using the song by Michael Jackson, "Man in the Mirror."
Yes, sir.
And and the verses talking to the men was, "I'm talking to the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. There's no message that has been any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and then make that change." So atonement, reconciliation, and responsibility. And during our beloved sister, minister and Dr. Ava Muhammad Janaza, the minister, told us about the preacher who he went to visit his service in college, and the subject was, what are you going with God's time?
That's right.
And so I hope tonight after we in this, that as we have reflected on the 27th anniversary, we've reflected on the principles, we've reflected on the things that we were asked to do, we discussed the public policy, that we reinvigorate, reenergize, recommit, and realize that this wasn't a moment, it really was a movement for the salvation of black people. And during the time of the Million Founding March, I was blessed to serve on this committee with Dr. Ben Chavis and many others. And you're right, Brother Student Minister Abdul Salam, take the numbers off the thing. It is the national agenda. All you have to do is update the numbers. But the issues are the same. The conditions are pretty much the same, if not worse, in terms of the issues of what we were suffering as a people. And the solutions, though we're in a more modern context, the solutions are pretty much the same. And so for the first time in the history of black people, you know, we've always struggled. You hear people say, well, the black community is not a monolith. You know, there's no one answer. Well, in this book, comprised of many from every strata of politics and sociology and economics and business, really came together and put together what we would call a black agenda that we should be able to organize around. That is the significance of what was then released as the Million Family March national agenda. And don't forget, previous to that, in 1996, we had a convention of the oppressed in St. Louis, which was the precursor to this. And that was the beginning. The minister gave us such a magnificent speech, and if you go back and get that transcript of the Convention of the Oppressed and his speech, that book was also the seedlings of the broader nation's public policy that produced that book that you have that was released in 2000 at the Million Family March. So it still has merit, vitality, life. Just take the dates off, maybe update the figures, but it is our national agenda, meaning black people.
our national agenda. Yes. Very significant work that was done.
Yes, sir. And Brother Akbar, I know that last section on international affairs, I know you had to have something to do with that. So can you just kind of give us your testimony of this beautiful agenda and public policy for our people?
Yes, it is a beautiful agenda, and you can tweak it a little here or here and there. But you know what I would like to see? My daughter, attorney Samima, she has a book club with all these young ladies between 45 and up. And I looked at diligence that they go over the text of the book that they're working on now. Let's say those same women would make that book. You could do it in a week, I mean, less than a week. And because there's lack of consciousness in terms of our struggle, you know, it's been kind of pushed on the side, out when you want. But if these sisters across this country take that agenda and read it, it would be 1 week. It will open some eyes. It will make people think. I feel it's a golden opportunity. We can't let it die. Dr. King's march in 63, it's basically dead. Nobody talks about it. You know,
that's right.
What did we achieve in 63? But we have an opportunity to do that, and it's so important right now.
Uh-huh.
So important.
Uh-huh.
Something we could think of. I'm going to pull my copy out and pick a bit and see where we go. But I just want to close out, you know, may Allah bless Sister Ava and her family and tremendous
work. Right.
And I want to say when she came to Chicago, she came and she went to work. She didn't get into, you know, talk about this one and that one and what color dress they got on and all of that. She went to work. And we need to take a lesson from that and accomplish things that we can put up on the scoreboard. We worked on this. And we have done a lot as a nation. Most people forgot it was there, forgot I did it. When did it happen? And you got to keep it alive. That is most important to me. Thank you, Brother Abdul Salam. And,
Sir.
You know, thank you very much. And we got to keep pushing on. Next week, I want to talk to you, Brother Minister Salam.
Okay.
And,
yes, sir.
Okay. And thank you again for having me on.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Well, we thank
brother,
you,
brother
Akbar. Thank you so much. And, man, it just made this night much easier for your brother. And you know we love and respect you. And our brother R, go right ahead.
Oh, man.
You want to say something to our brother?
No, I want to, first of all, thank brother. First of all, thank you, brother Abdul Salam, for this night.
Thank you.
And it is always an honor of our sister who pioneered this and to keep her legacy alive. I considered her, honestly, my best friend here. And,
yes, sir.
And her family very close with me. And I just thank Allah over and over again. She's in my mind and spirit every day, literally.
That's right.
I think about her and hear her voice and the work that she did that must continue.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that must continue on. And I wanted to mention real quick a couple of things, Brother Akbar. As our mentor in those early days, I'm talking about like 80, 81, 82, 83, all those early days. And he's always encouraged us in the ministry class to try to make our mark in this world. And he used to always tell us people are born on this planet and they live their life, they do their work, and then they die. And nobody ever knew that they were here. And he asked us in the student ministers class, will you leave your mark? Will they know when you're done that you were here. And we're so thankful to say to Allah, we're thankful for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, because we were here. And we were able leave our mark. We were here. And we read the scriptures. We can't forget we're reading the scripture of people that live. But their but their legacy lives on. And I want to close by saying, let us not forget that great book the minister wrote in early 92, 93, which was Torchlight for America.
Torchlight for America.
Great book that really was in between the Convention of the Oppressed, because it came out in 92, 93. The Convention of the Oppressed didn't come out to 96. Mm-hmm. And then 2000, the National Agenda. So we have a black nation's public policy agenda. So love
you
all.
Yes,
thank you all so much. And
love
and,
you.
And thank you all for allowing us this privilege on behalf of our sister who pioneered such a beautiful show, Elevated Places, because that's where we all want to be.
That's
elevated
right. That's
in,
right.
In the way of God.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you both there, brothers. And listen, brothers and sisters, it has been an honor, a humbling honor tonight to bring Elevated Places back in its second week live. We want to thank Student Minister Patricia, who started us off last week. Big shout out to Sister Donna and the team that worked behind the scenes with the flyer and working the boards. Definitely big shout out to Brother Darius and his family. We are keeping you and your children and grandchildren in our prayers. And, of course, we are grateful to be helpers to this beautiful man, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who our Dr. Abel Muhammad helped so much that we're still feeding from today in self-improvement. So it has been a great honor. Please visit MinisterAba.com for all updates as well as books and messages that you can still feed from to this day. Go back to NOI.org and watch all of the streams from this past weekend and the 27-year anniversary of the Million Man March. And, of course, we thank you, Brother Akbar, for being with us tonight. And may Allah continue to protect and preserve you, keep you in good health, and grant you long, long life. And thank you for being there for our beloved leader in the most pressing times. And Allah has always seen us through. So I thank you all for listening tonight. Looking forward to serving more in the future. We love you all. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.